Hey there, just a heads up, this podcast is for grown-ups only. We're talking about adult stuff, think spicy language, mature themes, and topics your grandma might raise an eyebrow at. So if you're under 18, come back when you're older. For everyone else, enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Hacking Love, deepening commitment through open relationships. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Anna. We created this podcast to explore the transformative power of ethical non-monogamy and how it can deepen connections in modern relationships.
We've been through it all, divorce, heartbreak, and figuring out what real commitment looks like. Now we're here to share our journey and the lessons we've learned along the way.
Whether you're experienced in open relationships or just curious, we want this to be a space where we can dive into real conversation about everything from swinging to polyamory.
We'll talk candidly about jealousy, desire, emotional growth, and radical honesty. Basically, everything that comes up when you step outside the conventional rules of love.
And if you're enjoying the show, we'd love it if you could take a moment to leave us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to. It really helps us reach more people.
Absolutely. And we'd also love to hear from you. Our contact info is in the show notes, so feel free to reach out with your thoughts and questions. We'll definitely get back to you.
So let's dive in. It's time to hack love and discover what truly authentic connections look like. Welcome back to episode 30.
Hacking Love, season 2.
Season 2.
Yeah, we're going to change the season now. So 30 episodes to me is a season. So now it's season 2 starting at 30.
I love that. Yes. And, you know, it's kind of perfect timing based on what we're going to talk about today, because we're going to read an email from a listener about how the lifestyle has been so important and critical for their relationship and their ability to grow.
And what are we going to call her?
We can call her Amanda.
Amanda it is.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Okay. We're going to keep all identifying information out of this.
And thanks, Amanda, for writing.
Then we're going to tell you some stories from last weekend that just show how much we have grown ourselves individually and as a couple since we opened up over a year ago. You guys know we've been open basically since the beginning, almost 4 years ago, but being more active in the community, I guess. It really does feel like a new dawn in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So perfect for a season 2 change.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. And we really appreciate hearing from you guys. It means so much. She says, "Dear Anna and Aiden, I stumbled across your podcast in early January. I was looking for something about the lifestyle that was more than just titillating discussions about sexcapades. Probably the exact opposite, actually. I wanted to hear something that got real about the hard conversations, the openness, the challenges, the exhilarating moments when you get it right. Basically, the things that were hallmarks of our years together and what we have been trying to build over our 8+ years together. Your podcast was it. I'm currently on episode 18. I squeeze in episodes on commutes, in the shower, when I'm alone in the kitchen cooking, whenever I can get it in. And then I stop and share with my partner, which leads to hours of fun and interesting conversations. I love it. Please keep putting out more. A little about us," and they give their ages and where they live. "We had a complicated start in which we had deep feelings for each other, but didn't really commit solidly until a few years later. We share some kiddos from previous marriages, all young, so our lives are in that phase where everything revolves around them. We are E&M, and for the last 5 years, we have really focused on this concept of true openness with each other, which is why I think your podcast is really hitting home. This is a concept that was really hard for me to embrace given the baggage I entered this relationship with and my own trauma. But over the years, through lots of conversation and therapy, I've been able to embrace that my partner is safe and being open in every aspect can bring two people truly closer. It started with seeing how traditional monogamy forced me to hide parts of myself and was actually blocking true intimacy." God, that's so true. "And how by even being open about feelings for another person unlocked intimacy in new ways. We have since tried several things. We've both played separately with one other person. We've been to a sex club, and he has gone on a few dates here and there, among other things. We love going to lifestyle resorts and meeting others in the lifestyle. We have public jobs, and we keep things very quiet and vanilla, given that, which makes it hard. But I think what we have done so far does inject quite a bit of space into our relationship and makes what the two of us have together, lots of fun and so much deeper. I wake up every day feeling thankful for my partner and very secure that he's my person as we explore what all this means. You all are doing some amazing work, and I love the raw honesty you bring to each episode. I often pause and text my partner the episode number and minute. We used to do that, remember, when we first started listening to podcasts?
For our own podcast.
Oh, that's so funny. But really, we do it with other ones, too.
Yep.
And say, hey, we need to listen to this part and talk about it. Because
We did do that.
Because it will elicit a reaction, good or bad. And I think this is exactly the point. I love that. Thank you. It's such a great thing and has been such a source of joy for us to have this. Appreciate you both. Would love to chat sometime. Amanda. And then I wrote back thanking her for her email and asking if we could share it on the podcast. And she said yes. And of course, anonymously, she said she has such a desire to be more open and live more authentically, but the jobs pay the bills and take care of the kiddos. So we have to put them first now. Maybe when they're grown and out of the house. She says, I'm not yet at episode 27, but I'm not surprised it was popular. I think we all go through phases in terms of figuring out what we want. We have lots of monogamous phases just due to the demands on our time and need for one another and what we offer each other. And quite frankly, the lifestyle feels a lot at times. I think my partner can really get into the sensory overload elements of it. And for me, it's just that, sensory overload. I am so in the same boat. I don't like being touched by just anyone. Oh, that's so me. And don't want a physical relationship with someone I'm not really into. And so I'm often fine being with him as he is engaging. But that has left me wondering, what is my place in all this? And what would make me happy? It's probably not surprising. I heard so many of your thoughts and related to them. I think the other thing is just the need to also pull back and tend to needs, which has happened to us at times. There have been starts and stops, missteps, figuring things out. It does all come back to our communication and knowing my partner has the best intentions at the forefront and I his. But that sometimes means reeling it in and reclaiming for a period, totally.
Yeah.
I think the other piece is really preserving the option through openness. Communicating about the subtle glance from the stranger that you enjoyed or the mild flirtation from a coworker and not doing anything about it, which can be just as much fun, but also not letting it be a thing. Monogamous couples often don't do that, and it damages intimacy and creates secrets, at least in my experience. Yes, ours too. Looking forward to the next episode, and I'm so glad to have connected.
That is one email.
Isn't it great?
It's exactly where we've been. And yeah, it's just so nice to hear others are sharing the same path and benefits and worries about the lifestyle that we have.
We really didn't know if anyone would connect with our experience, honestly. When we started recording, I think we recorded at least 5 episodes before we decided to really make it. It was a kind of a fake podcast.
Yeah, we weren't even going to publish it.
We weren't. We just thought, let's record our evening conversations. Maybe we turn it into a podcast, maybe we don't. And because we just didn't know, we felt like we didn't fit into any of the boxes of V&M. But I think that we actually do. There are other people out there like us who are just DIYing it and going with the flow. And the time, there are times you're more active and other times, like she said, like you're pulling back. And like right now we're in a kind of a monogamous phase because there's really not a lot of people that we found currently that we're interested in. And that's
and we haven't really tried.
Like, we haven't
been really
trying
on it because we're fine with where we are. And I think that's one of the lessons that she's bringing up is you can be fine with where you are and you don't have to be doing anything.
Yeah.
But the openness stays consistent.
Exactly.
Like she says, the flirting and things that might happen that you can talk about then and still stay completely monogamous. And really, you can stay wherever you are anyway. You don't have to do any of the stuff.
Never.
You can still just share that openness and talk about it because it's fun and it's sexy and it brings you closer.
I experienced something this past week when I was on holiday with my children at the beach that never would have happened. In no way would it have happened when I was married before. I met another dad. I was there single without you with my children and their friends. And the condo next door was a dad and his kids by himself. His wife was on another trip with their daughter. And we turned out we went to the same high school. We knew a lot of the same people. And he wanted to go on a beach walk to get some exercise. And we ended up going on a beach walk together, totally platonically. Like, I cannot explain to you how platonic it was. It was just, and maybe that's just what happens when you're in your 50s. You start to just relate like two old people. But it was so lovely. There in no world could that have happened in my previous marriage. That would have been considered cheating.
And it's so innocent.
It was so innocent.
Just connecting with somebody on a platonic level, taking a walk 100%. Down the beach. Doesn't have to be romantic. Doesn't have to be a threat.
No.
So that's really nice. I'm glad you had that experience.
I know. And it was just so lovely. I just, you think of when you put limits on your partner, on who they can connect with. It's so sad because we get to the end of life and really what matters the most is the connections we make with people. And the more I get to know people, I used to just feel so closed off, like afraid to make certain connections that I would offend people or hurt someone's feelings, or just afraid how someone would react or how I'd be seen. And it's so nice to tell my kids, yeah, I'm going on a walk with the dad next door. We're going to the beach.
How do they react when you said that?
They just looked at me and I said, yeah, Aiden and I are just, we're just not controlling of each other. And he's got female friends that he goes to lunch with and it's great. He's had really long-term female friends and always have, and they're totally platonic. And we just think that's perfectly normal and fine.
And I think your goal in that, you told me, was to help them model that and see that it's okay to have relationships with people of the opposite sex and enjoy those connections, and you're fine.
Exactly.
And nobody's upset. There's no hard feelings. And
exactly. Like for my son, growing up in a male in the United States, he's probably being trained, some guy's talking to your woman, you have to do something about it. It's almost like you're supposed to feel jealous or get angry or upset, or you're not a real man. And so my point to him was that I think it shows so much confidence in our relationship and in me that you trust me and you don't need to control me, that you're confident enough to know, yeah, no big deal. Of course she loves me. I'm amazing, which you are. And that's true.
Like, I say that every day, hon.
Every
day. I'm amazing.
You are.
You say it for me, so it's good enough.
And then for my daughter, from her end, right, like dealing with controlling guys in relationships, to realize that's not healthy and it's not a requirement. She doesn't have to deal with that if she doesn't want to.
There are other ways. Which is a great lesson for a girl in the society to know she doesn't have to deal with controlling boyfriend or person.
Yes.
That is really important, actually.
100%.
Because those can go really wrong, as we all know.
Very wrong. They can even become violent.
My fear with having my daughters is that they get involved with somebody who love bombs them in the beginning and just ends up controlling their lives and then making them feel like less of a person.
That sounds like my marriage.
Yeah, it happened to you, right? And,
yeah.
And I don't want that happening to them, and you don't want that happening to them or your daughter. And
yeah.
And so I think it's really good to model the behavior of openness and honesty and not taking that kind of shit.
Exactly.
And not standing for it, really.
Trust, mutual respect. When you have the kind of communication that we have, there's nothing that we hide from each other, not even for a second.
Nope.
We're constantly in contact not because we're trying to control each other. Or, oh my God, I need to know what he's doing. But you're just my favorite person.
Yeah, just like,
if I have something,
it's like being in contact with
I do.
Other.
It's if I have something to, like some story to tell, I'm like, I'm calling you or I'm texting you or I'm sending you a voice message because I know you'll understand it or you think it's funny or you have great advice for me. You're always like, are you sure I'm not mansplaining? I'm like, dude, you're not mansplaining if I don't know anything about it. And I have asked you specifically.
You're very forgiving on the mansplaining.
Oh my God, it's not mansplaining. You don't mansplain. Oh my God. I think one time you did in the gym because you just didn't realize I had my lifetime of experience working out.
Yeah,
and I remember
right.
You being surprised that I knew how to use the machines. And you were like, oh, okay, you got this. Bye.
Yeah.
But how would you know? Right. We never really talked about it. And I hadn't worked out for like 2 years. I'd had a gap when we first.
You needed some mansplaining to catch back up.
I
clearly.
Did. And actually, you did help me on some of the machines
that
I was messing up.
Good. It wasn't completely.
But I was like overextending and or it was going to injure me. That was helpful.
Yes.
Yes. And some of the machines, I have to put them in very short person mode. And sometimes they're a little rusty and it's hard to get the gears to work. So I needed your help for that.
Yes.
Legit.
I was there to help.
Yes.
Exactly. Being the man. Explaining it to you.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Exactly.
So I think it's really interesting that we have other people out there who are in the same model that we're in.
Yeah.
Because our model is we're pretty much monogamous.
I think we're monogamous-ish.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Because it's if the opportunity arises, like last weekend we were kissing, making out.
Let's talk about last weekend. This is fun.
Yeah. That was a really,
okay.
A very surprising last minute invitation that we received.
Okay.
So we talked about last episode on 29 about you when you were out of town. I went to see Wonder Woman do this performance and I went with Superman and another single guy, Dirk, that we named him. And there was another couple that Superman and Wonder Woman know, and they also came to watch her. And so I met them for the first time and they had just gotten married. or the celebration of their marriage was in another location. And then in our town, they were actually doing their legal wedding at a strip club here in our town. And I literally had just met them at the performance and we were just chatting. And the husband said, we need names for them.
He looks like a Brian.
Okay.
And she looks like a Jennifer.
Okay. Brian and Jennifer. So Brian just looked at me and was like, do you want to come to our
strip club wedding?
Strip club wedding next weekend. It's just going to be a small number of people and it's going to be our actual legal wedding. Do you want to come witness? And I said, we absolutely do.
And you accepted for me because you knew I was all over that.
I didn't even need to ask you.
A strip club wedding.
Yeah. I was like, yes.
You texted me. I'm like,
all in. Absolutely happening. And there were fantastic people. And it turns out they're our neighbors.
Yes, they live very close to us.
And that's helpful too. And they're absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. And she is stunning. And he's tall, very handsome and charming. They're just both charming and happy people. Like really positive. And so we were just like, this is fantastic. So we met up an hour before the ceremony at their place for drinks and just to
get to know each other
a little bit. And so it was us, Superman, Wonder Woman, Brian, Jennifer, their
other friends.
A couple other friends, exactly. Dirk was there.
Yeah.
The maid of honor and the officiant who just had one of those online certificates. We spent about an hour there and then we all got in different cars and went to the strip club. The strip club had no idea. This was not planned.
Yeah, we thought they planned the whole thing like there was going to be a huge
reserved
thing.
Reserved.
And the funny part is, what do I wear? They said dress sexy formal.
Sexy formal.
And so I'm like, okay, so that means my tightest little ball hugging costume shorts.
Yes.
And a bow tie. That's what I thought.
Which he has,
was the dress of the
it's
night.
It's essentially a stripper captain outfit.
Yeah.
It has
epaulets. It has epaulets that just rest on your shoulders because there's no shirt.
And then
under,
like a
and
tie.
A collar.
And it comes around with a tie and a collar.
So that was my expectation of the dress that night. You that wore a beautiful, sexy, almost like really nice dress, but it was very sexy.
Yeah, it was like a bodycon velvet green thing with the sides cut out. So it was not something I would wear probably to a vanilla event because the sides were cut out and people would look at
it
me and say,
hot.
Oh, the horror, and clench their pearls.
An LS event, it's very
formal. An LS event that was probably very vanilla to wear. And so,
but I didn't put my skimpy little costume on before going there. I had jeans on because I couldn't walk.
It was cold outside.
I couldn't walk through the neighborhood like that, clearly.
We walked a block to their place.
Through our neighborhood to their place.
What's he going to walk through with a Chippendales outfit?
It was basically that. So I get there and I'm like, wait, they're showing up in like three-piece suits and stuff. I'm like, this is not sexy formal. This is just formal. So I kept my shirt on with the epaulets and the little
you
tie.
You had a dark, tight t-shirt
sort
and
of a
jeans.
Costume.
And
yeah.
You had the, yes, you had the tie and the epaulette. It was fantastic. And you had the shorts on underneath, the sexy little
yes, nobody ever
tie,
saw them.
Nobody ever saw, but it was fine.
I was like, maybe at the strip club we'll be getting down, but we get there and no guys are taking their clothes off.
No.
I'm like, where did I get this at? I thought it was an LS party, but it wasn't. It was a vanilla strip
yes.
club.
It was a strip club. So there's dancers. There's a few different stages, dancers. And then I guess the way this works, I hadn't been to this particular strip club. This is the only one I'd ever been to in our town, actually, growing up here. And I went in my 20s with a guy friend. And it was very different this time. The dancers, first of all, were extremely athletic and skilled. It was impressive. And I feel like there were just so many more women there and walking around with their purses, like just waiting to be asked to do a lap dance.
Or asking people to do lap dances, which is the normal. It got really crowded with women and with customers later in the evening.
It did. It really did. So we all sit down and the waitress comes up and asks us, you know, what we want to drink. And you and I said, hey, by the way. And the bride was like wearing a wedding dress.
Yeah,
and
she had a wedding dress and a long veil.
And he was wearing a tux.
And they kept coming up to us like we were the couple.
Yes, it was so funny. So I said, by the way, our friends are getting married here tonight. And they were like, you're getting married here tonight? And I'm like, no, our friends over there in the wedding outfits. It was so funny. And I said, yes. She's like, really, tonight? And I'm like, yes, their legal wedding. Like they have the marriage certificate that they're going to sign here.
The officiant,
all that. And I was like, can we do anything special for them? And she brings the manager over And instead of going over to the obvious bride and groom, he comes over to us again and says, oh my gosh, you're getting married here tonight? We say, actually, it's our friends who are dressed like a bride and groom.
There were four or five times people made the assumption it was us getting married because we were sitting in each other's laps, all over each other.
Yes.
And
yes.
The bride's right across from us.
I know.
And the manager said this has never happened before.
It was a
one in his strip club. He's never had someone get married there.
Yes.
I thought maybe that was a thing.
So they were like, this is a big deal. This is exciting.
They made a big deal out of it.
So patrons are not supposed to take video or pictures in the club, but they have their own photographers and videographers. So they came out and they videotaped the whole thing. I said, can they get married on the stage? Like right next to the pole. And he was like, yeah, absolutely. Let's do this. And so they had their little ceremony and he was like, I want to sit on your face for all time or something.
Yeah, something like that.
It was perfect.
Raunchy vows.
It was perfect. Raunchy lifestyle vows. And they are monogamous too.
Yeah,
like
only
play
with
sometimes
women.
And only play with women. So they're not like, it's perfect for us to make a new friend in the neighborhood that's like us. So I love it. And then we just hung out the rest of the night and I was ignoring, not even on purpose, but ignoring Superman because I just, after the last interaction with him at Wonder Woman's performance, I just hadn't gotten a vibe from him that he had permission or something was going on that I just wasn't feeling the vibe with him. But at one point he looked at me, I didn't even realize he was sitting next to me and he looks at me and he pointed at the seat next to him and he was like, come here. And then he started just kind of being flirty and getting with his hands. And he kissed me a little bit a few times.
Oh, I didn't know about the kiss.
Oh, yeah. He kissed me a few times.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then, but y'all kissed too.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. And then Wonder Woman.
No, not me and him. Me and his wife.
No, right. Wonder Woman, yes.
I did not kiss him.
So she would come sit in your lap. And she's so cute. And she just moves so sexy. And
she's a very sexual.
She is so sweet. And
she's a very sexy person.
Yes. Yeah. Very sensual. And she's wearing this gorgeous dress. She looks so adorable. And then we just, I don't know, it was just everyone was flipping around and you were with her and I was with him. And I just was teasing him the whole time. Like, he kept asking me what I like to do in the bedroom. And I was just telling him because I was like, I don't have a lot invested in whether we actually sleep together again. I just enjoy the flirty banter. And I think it's just fun. I'll just tell him what I like. And he was a little fascinated by the fact and has been fascinated that you don't have any rules.
Yeah.
He does.
He was fascinated by that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. He was like, yeah, she's not really okay with the separate play. And I was like, I know. And that's okay. No worries. I just think it's really sexy and so alpha that Aiden can do whatever he wants. It's like, he doesn't have any rules on him at all. And he just was like,
so I don't do anything.
I know. It's so funny. And that's the same for me. I'm just like, yeah, I don't really care. But it is so nice because if you do want to do something, like for that night, like I didn't have to worry about kissing him back if he kissed me or like checking with you. I just knew that it was fine.
Yeah.
And same with you. Yeah. You can just be yourself. And so it's just fun. And then I think more than anything, I was sitting in your lap and we were making out heavily.
Yeah. We were together a lot of that night.
We were a lot.
You were in my lap a lot because I just like having it in my lap.
I know.
I had her in my lap for a while and I had you. That was really nice. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting about this to me is the conversation you guys have gets really raunchy. And it gets really nasty and
not
hot
really.
And sexy. Oh, yes. Okay. Share with the listeners the topics that you told me you talked about that night.
So
you have to share them all.
No, it's fine. I don't care. So he was like, so you like anal sex? And I was like, yep. And he was like, yeah. I don't do that a lot. That's not one of her favorites. And I was like, why?
I'm right here.
I know. I was like, why aren't you outsourcing that? Like, I don't understand. I just given him so much shit. I know, he's like, I don't know. I'm like,
so that's one of the topics.
Yeah.
But what's funny is here's the difference between what I say to her and what he says to you. He's all about the sex.
He is.
Like, what do you like in bed? How do you like it?
Yeah, and he's not Mr. Connection. So
yeah,
I just,
it's a different approach.
Accept him for what he is.
Yeah, it's a different approach. But I'm just remarking on my experience with you talking like this. Well, I'm having conversations with her about her kids and her job.
Which she desperately needs.
Which she probably does.
Honestly.
And I started thinking through that. She probably wants the boyfriend experience.
Yes.
More than he's probably giving it to her. I don't know. Their marriage is
it to her.
He's giving it to her, but he's not giving the boyfriend experience.
I mean, he's showing me some pictures.
That's the other thing. The pictures and the sex. It's all about the sex with him, which is fine.
Yeah.
And but with her, I'm just thinking for me, my ability to connect with her on a different level is probably an advantage, or maybe it's not. Maybe I'm just losing out.
No, you're not. I think she loves that about you. I've just given up on connecting with him.
Yeah.
He's just not very emotional.
And you're having fun with it.
And I'm having
fun with it. Yeah, you're talking nasty, dirty shit, which he likes. And it's just fun for you to tease him and do all that stuff. Whereas for her, it's like I'm courting her in a way.
It's beautiful. Wow. She prefers that immensely. That's what I want. It's 100% what I want.
You also want what he's doing. It's fun for you.
This is second best. I'd so much rather have the connective talk.
Oh, probably true. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I'm just making the best of this.
That's true.
Like, why not? Like, he likes oral sex and he likes coming in women's faces, which I was like, that's a hard pass for me. I can do the oral sex, but you will not come in my face ever. If you guys...
You're just laying on the law with this guy, which is fucking hilarious.
Dear listeners, if you have never had a man come in your face and get come in your eye, it is like acid. So you guys who think that's hot and you've seen that in porn, just think twice if you actually love the person you're doing that to. Or definitely ask first. My God. Also, ask before you spit on her pussy. That is just so gross to me. We're self-lubricating or get real lube. That just feels so gross and disrespectful. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
That's your preference.
It's my preference. Right. I have preferences.
I don't prefer to do it either. But
you don't. The guys I've seen do it watch a lot of porn.
Yeah. And so, it's a porn thing. It's a younger guy's thing too, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, it was interesting, the dichotomy between our two conversations that were happening at the same time. And you're telling me along the way, I'm like, wow, do I need to get dirtier or something? No, you just need to keep being you. And I'm like, yeah, okay, 100%. That's what I need to do.
100%.
So it was nice. And we had great conversations.
And then I'm trying to think of what else you might have said that would be entertaining for our listeners.
Lots.
I don't know. I told him what I did like of our experience when we
played
last time.
That's right.
So I told him I liked when he brought out the collar.
Harness.
Yes, and that. Then the
flogger.
The flogger. And
light B&D.
Yes, exactly. And he was like, yeah, we're going to do that again. I was like, I don't know. Can you pay attention to me? I don't know. It's up to you. Yeah.
If you want to know about that, listen to that episode because you had an issue with him not paying attention with you. We'll get into it.
No, I mean, we could say real quick. He was filming his wife while he was fucking me. And I was kind of like, that's not, if I'm going to take the time to put someone in my vagina, I want your 100% attention. Right. I do. If you want to fuck your
that's
wife,
fair.
Fuck your wife.
That's fair.
Yeah. Which
that's
I get.
Right. So message was delivered.
Anyway. Yeah. So it was delivered the last time too. And I'm just tongue in cheek about it. And I'm just teasing him. I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's ever going to happen again. That's up to you. No. Anyway, it was fun and silly. So at one point, I'm looking around the whole time trying to find girls that I think you would be attracted to. And
that's right.
I really didn't see a lot at all when you first came in. It was just not your type. And then later on, as more came in, there was this one who was like, oh my gosh, like in her 20s, perfect, just beautiful, perfect body. And I just kept being like, you should get a lap dance from her. You should get a lap dance from her. And so we were about to leave. And I was like, we're not leaving before you get a lap dance from her. I need to fulfill your dreams.
It wasn't my dream to get it. But you want things to happen for me that I don't even know that I want.
Exactly. I was like, I just want to.
So you orchestrate this thing.
I orchestrate this thing. I go and ask her if she is available to give you a lap dance. And she says yes. Like, for whatever reason, no one was approaching her. Like, drop dead gorgeous, the most gorgeous
cute.
Woman in the whole
Super
place.
Super cute.
And so, so we got the full three.
Dances.
Yeah. And so I sat in a chair. You and I were facing each other and she was facing you. Okay. And so she took her bra off and she told you that you could touch her boobs, which I didn't know you could do.
You can touch. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
It's been a while since I've been in a strip club too.
They were perfect, real. Everything perfect. Yeah. And so you and I would like peek around her, like, and we'd just be like,
I catch your eye and smile at you.
So
and you smile
hot.
At me. And you were enjoying that.
I was.
What were you enjoying about it?
I was enjoying you enjoying yourself. Like, compersion. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Like, I just was, I don't know. I just feel
it's
like
it's really lovely.
It's my job to proactively make your life magic. Because you do that for me all the time. Like, I feel like I'll never catch up to all the magic you have added to my life.
Oh, that's really sweet, babe.
And so, if I can buy you a slutty lap dance.
Pretty easy solution there.
Pretty easy solution.
Here's $100. Go dance on them.
And it was an extra sort of like, because I think Wonder Woman was like, oh my God. She wasn't even looking at all.
He was watching a lot.
Oh, yeah. He was like, wow. He had his eyes were
He was right next to me. And he was getting the lap dance tangentially from me.
Tangentially.
So I think we analyzed this for a while. And there, we always analyze everything, and it's frustrating because you never get to the answer, but
yeah,
we kind of analyze where they are and what we thought about their relationship with this, and basically determine that she may not trust him.
Yeah, I think there's not
the full trust.
Full trust of him on his own.
Yeah, which is pretty much
which may not a good be idea. Wrong.
She may not be wrong at all.
May not be wrong, especially with substances involved, and you may just not know if they're at full decision-making capacity. And she knows him well, and she's trying to protect their marriage, and they have kids, and I get that. And that's actually, we've heard that from other couples. The woman doesn't have any rules on her, but the guy has rules on him because he's broken trust in the past.
Yeah.
But I just can't imagine. I don't know. Maybe I'm just lucky. You've never done that to me, and I can't imagine you doing that to me.
Done what?
Broken my trust or lied to me or...
Yeah, there's never any reason to.
Yeah, especially since the breakup, since we got back together. I don't think it's other than we were like lying to each other, but we might have omitted things.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Which we definitely...
No, but I mean, like in our current relationship, there's no reason to break trust because the trust is implicit.
Yeah.
And I could see where if she had insecurity about him breaking trust, maybe the trust isn't all there.
Right.
Or maybe he's done something in the past where it really bothered her and she had to rein it in. It's right. Very understandable.
Totally.
So yeah, that was our analysis of the thing. We don't really know, but we do feel that the inhibition is coming from her.
Yeah.
And them exploring new things, the separate play with you.
Yeah.
Even just that experience at the strip club, it's definitely there. So it's just another couple and where they are in it. They've been in it a lot longer than we have. They've been married 20 plus years. And you would think with that, they would have a different level of acceptance of it. But they know each other really well. They do. So I don't know. It's hard to put yourself in other people's shoes in this thing. But I think ultimately, at least I want to get to the point where I'm just like, you go do you. Do what makes you happy. I will be very compulsive about it and then come back to me. And that's my ultimate goal.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm there yet. We talk about this a lot on these podcasts where I know I'm getting closer to it. Like a lot of the things we've been talking about recently have been pretty revolutionary for us.
Very.
And a big moment for me.
Yeah.
And just being okay and accepting things. And then you just respond in just total love for me and still excitement about all these things that are happening. So it's all good. And it all progresses us to the next thing. I can't imagine a scenario where you do something out of impulsivity that is something that I would hate or that would be upset about or would make me feel bad. Mm-hmm. I just can't imagine you doing that. You would know what that is.
Yeah.
Because you know me so well.
100%.
And same thing with you. I would know what it is that would bother you. And for me, it's trust. It's some sort of mini betrayal or something like that would really bother me. But if it's us all agreeing on something and you're doing something that is in line with that, I have no problem with that.
I know. And I think it helps a lot that we don't drink.
Yeah, it does.
Because I just know you're always of sound mind. And so that creates a huge amount of trust.
That's true. I thought about that the other day. I thought, man, if you drank, we're pretty wild.
We are.
But if I was thinking from my perspective, if you drank, I would worry a lot more.
Yes.
If you were like, we're going out and we're drinking and then you just decided to go off on your own, that would worry me a lot more than knowing that you have your wits about you and that you're doing what you want to do, not because your inhibitions have been artificially brought down, but just because that's what you want to do. That's a totally different experience for me. And most people in lifestyle do drink. It takes the nerves off. They enjoy it. It's the party lifestyle. But I think that is something that would probably inhibit us a bit. And maybe that's what their issue is, because they're always drinking or something.
Yes.
At whatever they do. And we love them. It's no judgment at all.
I mean, they're no different from anybody else in life. So we're the different ones, really.
Yeah, we're the outliers, basically. Yeah. But the not drinking is, I know I'm showing up with my full, and the not drinking also, I have more nerves than probably other people do.
Yeah.
If they haven't been able to suppress them.
Yeah.
And so maybe I don't make that flirtatious comment or I don't, if they're drinking and I'm not coming onto them as much as somebody who's drinking might. So maybe that's a lot behind the issues we've talked about with me not really putting myself out there and flirting as much or really getting into speech. But the cool thing about that is I'm doing it on my own now.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm actually, like, she came up. What did she say? She got up and, like, we were saying goodbye. And she gets up and she comes and hugs me. She goes, I've been thinking about fucking you ever since we were together that night.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was really nice to hear.
Yeah.
I really liked hearing that. And I said, sure, me too. I said some weak response back. But I was happy to hear it. But I got to experience that without alcohol.
Exactly.
I got to experience that without any inebriation or substance at all and respond in my own personal way. So there's a huge benefit to me personally of not drinking, because now these are experiences I get to have.
Yeah. had enough regret our first few experiences totally stone-cold sober just from my people-pleasing saying yes when I meant no. Imagine if I'd been drunk, the amount of, and I know that happens to women in lifestyle where they're like, wake up the next morning with a terrible hangover and regretting what they, the choices they mm-hmm. made. That never feels good. Like, I want to feel like I'm giving a man my full 100% enthusiastic yes.
And you do. Very enthusiastic.
When I find the ones, I have enthusiasm.
Yes. I'm very enthusiastic. Yeah. I love it.
Okay, let's talk about this. So we're having another party in a few weeks, and there's a guy coming that I met through one of our vanilla activities, going roller skating, that I thought I might be attracted to. And I really love them as a couple. He and his wife are awesome. But they're going to be there, and there's somebody there that you're interested in. You've even told her up front in an email that you wanted to kiss her.
Oh, yeah, her. I was like, who are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said something about, she said, I said, any special requests for the party? And she said, we should be asking you that question in her RSVP. And I said, okay, I'm game. Why don't we make out under the disco ball?
Uh-huh.
And so that was me putting it out there a little bit further. And she said, oh, I'd love that. And my partner would love that too.
And then you said, so would Anna. Yeah. And then I wrote back, hot.
So we have big. Two new people. This is pretty big for us.
I don't know if I'll kiss this guy. I think he gets around quite a bit.
Oh, you don't care about that, do you? Still?
I do.
How do you know he gets around quite a bit?
Just from the what I'm seeing in the chat, that they go to a lot of events.
Why does that bother you?
It just gives me a little bit of concern about STDs.
That's always been in your back of your mind in this whole lifestyle. But I think in this case, you can kiss a man and be okay with it. Not that I'm encouraging it, but maybe I am.
I know. I'll see. I'll try to put that out of my mind because I was immediately.
You liked him.
I did. Yeah. I mean, I texted you.
And he shares your hobby of roller skating.
Yes. I know. I texted you. I was like, this guy's a yes.
I don't know. Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, because it's rare. And at a party situation, it wouldn't have to be a four-way swap. So that'd be easy.
And I haven't met his wife, and I don't know that I would like her yet.
Yeah, y'all haven't connected. But I think you'll really like both of them. They're just cool people. So that'll be really interesting. I, for a while, wasn't really eager to witness you kissing other people while mm-hmm. I was standing right there. Just, I felt like I was a little bit like...
Made you feel like you were being seen as lesser than.
Yes.
Like, it made you look bad that your partner was making out somebody else. Yes,
Anna, like, she's being ignored and you're... So the way that I get used to the idea of things is by visualizing them in my head. Just over and over until I desensitize to them. It helps me sort of guess how I'll feel because I can envision you kissing this woman and like where I might be and how I might react and how it wouldn't be this loss of power. It could just be me being compulsive for you.
You know what's interesting about that? That's not jealousy. That is your feeling about how you look in that situation. You're not jealous about me kissing her. Doesn't sound like.
No.
Or are you?
You're right.
Right. Now, I might be a little bit jealous about you kissing him.
Interesting.
Because that's still with me. Ooh, what's going to happen with this? And who says it just stops at kissing, too? It is a party where there is play.
I might get down with you.
You might.
In the middle of the room.
You might.
Would you like that?
A little slut.
How would you feel about that?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. We haven't talked about this yet.
So I just have always said.
This is the first we've talked about him.
Yet. It is the first we've talked about him. I've always said that I didn't want to have public sex with anyone but you. But I don't know. I guess I still feel that way. Like, I have actually thought this through in my head. If he and I were going to have sex. But it was because I like the public sex. I just don't want anybody else getting the idea. Oh, Anna's down on the big mattress. Then it's 10,000 hands. And I'm like, I would either want to be in a tiny corner with some pillows barriers.
I didn't know you've been thinking about fucking this guy in the middle of our party. This is new.
This is... Okay, you know how my brain works? I have a constant inner monologue. And when I'm not working or doing something very specific, I am constantly daydreaming. My mind just mm-hmm. floats and goes to all kinds of possibilities. And so that possibility took about 5 seconds for me to be like, I'd see him kissing her. So then what if I'm kissing him? Wait, what if we want to have sex? What do I want? How would I have sex in the big room? would he have, what if he was having sex with her and I was having sex with him in the big room? But then I was like, no, I can't do that. Because then all of a sudden, like, all these other guys in their hands on me and I don't want their hands on me. So then what do I do?
That's not necessarily true.
Do I go into a corner and make a pillow fort? Like, there's a wall barrier that only you're allowed to come into and he's allowed to come into. And
strap some sheets to the wall.
That's what I thought about. Area. It's literally what I thought about. Like, literally, I was part of the daydream was me going on Amazon searching for sheer curtain like they have at Colette.
So you've already gone that far.
Yes, but it took seconds. It's like a dream where you just see the whole thing all together.
Now, for me, what I'm hearing is I might be fucking this guy at your party. I haven't even put that much thought into this. I thought, oh, I might kiss this girl and this girl. I wasn't thinking, yeah, I'll be fucking her while she's fucking him. Of course, I'm not
this
going
is
ever.
The only...
I don't do that. I don't. My mind doesn't continue to daydream. I just
if I don't
see what happens, it'd be better if it did because then I could prepare for these things.
That's why I do it.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because I don't want to be caught in the middle of something I don't want to do, mm-hmm. unprepared with what I want to say.
And knowing
have
time
do.
That you've made your decision what you want to do.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
And know that, like, how I'm going to say no, if no is the answer. And if I'm going to say yes, what am I saying yes to? And what am I saying no to? Very specifically. Because just because I say yes to certain things doesn't mean I say yes to everything.
I think this guy thinks he's talking to you because y'all connected very well on that vanilla date y'all went on.
I don't know. I have a history of wives vetoing me.
It's true.
I don't assume anything, and I'm almost afraid to talk to him because then they'll never speak to us again. I'll be on a blacklist.
That's not true.
I know. I'm starting to wonder. It's, I don't know.
He got vetoed for a separate play date with Superman because they don't separate play and they never have, they've said.
Well,
so
he has.
He has, and they probably made a decision from that experience to not do it again. So that wasn't really a blacklist for you. It was more, we don't separate play, but they're still into us and they still want to be with us. But
I get it.
I get how some women are threatened. And that's just the way it is. But the way you describe them in the lifestyle, it's like they are way open. They've been doing it forever. And
it seems like it. And they seem really solid. And she was very nice to me. But so was that girl at the party that they literally quit the lifestyle the next day after 5 years.
You blame yourself for
and
that.
And I didn't even take my clothes off at that party. I left at 10.
But
I had
why
nothing
do you think that was
anybody.
You? It probably had nothing to do with you. You don't even know what happened the rest of that night.
I don't
you left.
Know. But everybody loved them, and they'd been in the
and
lifestyle forever.
They just disappeared.
They met me. I talked to them a decent amount of the night. They were so nice. We got along great. And then all of a sudden, they removed themselves. I was just like, are you kidding? Seriously.
I don't think it was you. But the timing was suspicious.
But the guy I was into and the girl you would not have been into, and they probably figured, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just paranoid.
You're thinking
but I'm like
through.
Stone cold sober. I listen. I try to be a good friend. I'm paying equal, if not more, attention to the woman at all times. I don't touch anybody. I don't kiss anybody. I'm so respectful. Okay, with Superman, I'm like
not respectful at all.
No, he doesn't deserve any respect. He deserves.
I hope he hears this one day. He doesn't deserve your respect.
He does not. I don't know. I'm just a fuck with him. It's a very funny dynamic that I've never had with anybody is I'm just playing with it.
It's fun for me as much as I'm like, oh, dirty talking my girlfriend like that. But I'm like, I think it's fucking funny. And I love how you're just like, you're just kind of taking it over and like being your your naughty self with and like pushing back on him and teasing him. I kind of like that.
I think he's been Mr. Hot Shit in the lifestyle. And I think he doesn't have people take say
him,
no to him.
Take him down a peg.
Yeah. And his thing of he wants to see Dirk fuck me. I'm like, no. Like, I think any other woman would have said yes to that.
Some of them in lifestyle would have, yes. But with us, things don't just always move forward like that.
I want boyfriend experience.
Well, that's what Superwoman's going to get.
I love it.
Yeah, she's, Wonder Woman. I keep calling her Superwoman.
No. I would just love that for her. I think she would love it. I don't know. Maybe
you offered the idea of me taking her on a date into a really nice restaurant, a really nice hotel, and I'd be totally into that. And
wouldn't it be
She sounded excited about it, and then she pulled the plug on separate play after she thought about it.
Because she doesn't want him doing it. I think she would love to do it, but she knows it would mean that he would have to get to do it.
Yeah.
Or that's his mentality. That's not our mentality.
No, it's not. I do feel like if I do something, you're probably going to be able to do it too, because who am I to say no?
If you're not comfortable with it, I don't want to do it.
I
don't
feel the same way.
You to ever feel ick, and I don't know.
But I would be. because I don't think I have any rules on you, really. We're talking about all the things you're dreaming about doing at our party. I'm like, okay.
I'm just trying to mentally prepare.
I know, but I'm just saying that if you want to do something, I'm not going to stand in the way. And I'm not going to veto it. It's just going to be like, I'll make sure you're okay with it. If you're like, but you'd be telling me. So I don't see where the friction would be. And that's where we've gotten in this thing, which is just totally accepting and open to whatever the other person wants. Even though we're not doing that much,
yeah.
We haven't really tested it.
I know.
But we've tested it in some ways, and it's always gotten better.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to figure out, like, is there a potential gotcha that we don't know about? Or I guess we'll know when it happens.
100%. Like, I could think, oh my gosh, I've gotten to this amazing compulsive level, and I'm free of jealousy. And I know that's completely
nice.
Full of it. That it's going to come back and I'm going to feel it, or I'm going to feel like, oh, I'm sitting over here in the corner and you're making out with somebody and there's just nobody I'm interested in. And now I feel
that's
weird.
Not jealousy.
Yes.
That's awkwardness from me making out and you not making out. It's not jealousy of her and kissing me.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're jealous. These things you're bringing up as jealousy really aren't. They're like, I don't want to be seen as sitting by there while my partner's making out with someone and making me look bad. That's not jealousy.
Yeah, I do. That is where I prefer to just leave and let you, because I also think that women are hesitant to be aggressive with you if I'm in the vicinity, because we're new to it and people don't really know how we roll. They will learn that I'm cool with it. And so maybe what I'll try to do is stay in the room long enough to be witnessed as being totally cool with it. And then maybe I'll leave, maybe I'll come back, I'll just be flowy, but in no way will I be freaking out or like staring at you or looking forlorn or whatever.
No. Well,
no, I mean,
that's
not my style.
You would be forlorn, would you?
No. No. I think I would just, if I felt awkward, like I feel like that shows up in...
You're more concerned about how you look, being your Enneagram 3 wing.
Yeah.
It's just part of who you are. You're worried that you look like a cuck or that you look awkward or forlorn or sad because your partner's making out with someone else.
And the two part of me wants to leave because I want you to have a good experience,
right?
And I don't want to interfere. That's the part of me that doesn't want to come up and start kissing on you too when some other woman's there, because I feel like I would repel that other woman. If I were kissing some guy and his wife started coming up, I would think that she was marking her territory and that telling me to go away.
Which may not be the case.
It may not be.
Maybe she wants to be joining you like I would with you and a guy.
Yeah.
I want to join you.
Good point.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference in the lifestyle.
Yeah, I think it's a difference in...
I don't want to interfere.
Perception, but your personality is that. I think you very much want me to have my own experience and to enjoy myself. And that's a beautiful thing. That's your Enneagram 2 wing, which is the helper.
Yeah.
But your Enneagram 3, which is the achiever, which is more status conscious in how you
right.
look, is often at play there too.
It is.
But what I don't hear in any of this is jealousy. And if you are jealous at all, I want to hear it. I want you to say what would make you... In fact, let me ask you that. What would make you jealous that I could do?
Hot, blonde, petite, Harvard-trained DJ. Who lived next door and who could stay out late and loved cruises.
I don't like cruises. I like one cruise.
Okay. It was a pretty big one.
So a smart DJ who's hot. Okay, so let's say that stripper happened to be super intelligent.
Oh, and also very younger.
Yeah, okay. So that stripper who you thought was beautiful.
Yeah.
And was probably 24.
Yeah.
And perfect body, all that stuff. You might get jealous of that. What scenario would you be jealous of that?
What would really put me over the edge is if you guys were having deep conversation about your like ayahuasca ceremonies and she was just like really smart and just
very spiritual too.
Very spiritual and grounded and confident and all the things that I want to be and I'm working to be, but I'm not quite there in a lot of ways.
Okay, so impossible for you to get jealous because it's never happening.
Oh.
That stripper's not talking about anything intelligent, I'll tell you that much.
And that's why I wasn't jealous of her. You know, I was like, all right. I was like, it kind of looks like fun. I probably wouldn't be to be a stripper, be giving lap dances, but I was kind of like...
Isn't that everyone's fantasy?
I just do that for a night? They should do that for a night and just let housewives come in and like, live their dream. And then just be like, all right, I wonder if it would be like super popular night.
Oh, no, that's a thing. Isn't pole dancing a thing? That is channeling like strippers when you're pole dancing.
A lot of women, like normal women, do it as an exercise class.
Exercise.
I know, exactly.
It's also very sexy. And they also like the idea of being on stage on a pole, imagining there are men.
I think Wonder Woman would love it.
Yes, she would. But yeah, so I don't hear a lot of jealousy. And I still have the jealousy a little bit, like the parts that. But it doesn't bother me, and it doesn't stop anything, and it doesn't make me go into my head or get upset.
Yeah.
It's just that, which I think is healthy.
What do you think? I know, it is.
Yeah, it's like healthy that I feel that way.
I always want to be reminded of how awesome you are.
Yeah.
I need to freaking laugh at your jokes and, like, stay on top of my head game.
That is the fastest way to my heart, laugh at my jokes.
But what kind of guy would feel most threatening to you, or is it just anyone who's touching me?
I don't know that I would differentiate the guys. It depends on how much you're into them.
Okay, so it's more of like how I am reacting to them.
Yeah, how you would react.
Yeah, I guess that would
be
big too.
I really like this guy, and he's so smart, and he's so this. Yeah, that would get to me.
Yeah, if you were.
And smart is more of an issue for me than it is for you, even.
Huge. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you were really engrossed and cuddled up, not even making out, but just sitting, you know, sitting in your lap, and y'all were just having a really deep discussion and like snuggling, like the really intimate stuff that we do. Would be like, oh God.
I'm glad I asked. There's some there.
Well,
I like there's a little bit. If you were just like, I'm never jealous.
No.
Like you were when you said that before we broke up, which wasn't true at the time, but you were saying it because you didn't want to be controlling me.
Right.
But if you were just not jealous at all, then I would worry about that.
Oh, no.
Or maybe I shouldn't worry about that.
It definitely, that kind of stuff is harder for me. But it's that, like you were saying, that just kind of, like, I still know you're not leaving me. I just have this deep confidence in us that we're committed to each other. It's like a real commitment. Like, we both want it.
Yeah.
And we want to take care of it.
Yeah. And you trust that.
And I trust it. Yeah. For better or for worse, I do trust it. So
jealousy is just getting in the way.
Jealousy just is making me hornier for you. And so I don't know if
it does it for
that's
me
awfully distracting. But, yeah. but I've gotten to the point where I've able to, instead of have a panic attack about it, I am more channeling it into being turned on by it. Mm. It just slowly a little.
And that's where I'm at.
The flip is switched a little more toward the turned on versus the panic attack.
Yeah, and my best example of that is the last podcast where I was out of the country and you were on a date and planning to get fucked, and it was driving me crazy in a good way.
Yeah.
And it was like, I don't know, and I was following you on Find My, and I was texting you all the time and waiting for your texts and your updates and hoping you did it and hoping you didn't. So all of that was just very exciting.
Yeah.
And a little scary, but fun. And always knowing where you're at. And you were really good about checking in with me and setting updates. I think if we ever get to the point where you're going on separate dates, I would want all the check-ins.
Yes.
I think at least for a long time.
I would want to give them to you.
Yeah, and you would. You'd be yes. like, okay, here's what happened now. It's like a play-by-play.
Yeah.
And so that to me is fun. So that's my big step.
I want to take care of us. If we're going to do this, it's about us.
Yeah. That's the key to this. And I think for anyone listening, that is really key. That this whole thing, if you're doing this right, it's about your relationship with your partner. It's not about escaping your partner, getting someone new because that person's boring you or things have gotten monotonous. If that's the case, the lifestyle can make it less monotonous between the two of you. But I think having that base of connection with your partner is super important to really doing this the right way. If it's something you're doing, okay, hey, I'm really bored in my marriage and I really want to open up because I'm not having enough sex. People do that. But I think what they end up finding is that they end up coming back to their partner and seeing that their partner is also attractive to other people, which also gets things rolling. And it has this kind of counterintuitive effect that is just really interesting. And I think ultimately does bring people close together if they've got that base of friendship and base relationship.
And you get to know this different side of your partner. And I get to know a different side of myself. I didn't really know I had that teasy, like naughty, sort of almost dominant side of me.
Yeah, I knew you had
that. Was new.
Remember how I always told you that you have the like a femdom in you?
Yeah, a little bit. It's brat,
It's brat. That's you have the sub part of you, but you also have this very strong, dominant feminine part of you.
Yeah.
That I don't think you're as aware of as I am.
It's very new to me.
Yeah, and so that's what you were doing with him. That's what I was seeing that was so interesting, is that you're going, hey, and that's that teasy, I'll show you what's up, boy.
And it just came out.
Yeah,
it did. I'm like, where's that? Who's that person? Do I have like multiple personality disorder?
And to me, just seeing you, I liked it because it's you being yourself.
Yeah.
And that turns me on. The more you're yourself and the more you enjoy your life and then just real feel comfortable in your skin. And when you're not comfortable in your skin, I don't like that.
Yeah.
When you're not comfortable with whatever you're saying or doing, or you're being suppressed in a social situation, it goes back to your previous life.
Yes.
And I don't want that for you. Yeah. I just want you to be expansive and do all the things and feel as good about yourself and your life and your body and your mind as you possibly can. And that just makes me happy. So I think that's where I come to it, is us being ourselves is the natural outcome of a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
And that just turns me on more and more when we can just be ourselves and just do whatever we want. It's just the freedom you feel from that is so amazing.
It truly is. And I want that for you too. It really is such a turn on for me, for you to not have any rules and for you to just feel free to do and say and experiment like you've been doing. Like you sent that email.
Yeah, that was new.
To her. We need a name for her too.
Bonnie.
Bonnie. Okay. So we've got Brian and Jennifer and Bonnie.
So Brian's the one that you may hang out with at our party.
Maybe. We'll see. I don't know.
And then she's the one I've already planned to kiss.
Yes. I mean, that's a
it may just be an immediate little kiss and that's it. And then I'll go back to DJing and hide my face.
What if you think about it ahead of time?
Okay, help me through this because I don't do that. So help me think about it ahead of time.
So what if you think about it ahead of time and think about like really making out with her? Because I think she's enthusiastic. I think that's what she
wants. She was pretty enthusiastic in her response. She's cute.
She is. Yeah, yeah. She really is. Super smart.
But I don't know her husband at all.
And she
said he'd be excited about us kissing.
Cool. So we have enthusiastic consent about all four of us. So I think if you were going to try a full good makeout where you're grabbing her ass and doing all the, if that feels right, it could be an experiment for you.
I will experiment.
Because you're typically not very aggressive with that stuff, but I think you could be. It'd just be interesting to see what happens.
We'll have the green light for the start. And for me, that's always it. Because once I have the start and I have the acknowledged interest, which is already there, I'm off to the races.
Yes.
For me, it's getting that initial, yep, you're good. It has to be pretty obvious for me.
I love that. A man who wants consent. Exactly. How revolutionary.
That's true.
I love it.
That's true.
I want that too. I don't want somebody who's, I don't know if they're into me or not. That's what's happening with Superman. And I kind of lost interest in him for a while, to where I wasn't even paying attention to him when we were at the strip club. And I didn't even mean to be. I lose interest in people if they're not interested in me or if I perceive they aren't. I'm just like, okay, that's boring.
Same for me.
But I meant to ask you, how was my communication with you that night when I went out with Superman and Dirk? Was it to the level that you wanted?
Oh, absolutely.
Was it enough?
I'd asked you, I want you to update me by text whenever you go to the bathroom. Because I knew every 2 hours you'd have to go pee.
Yes.
And I would get an update. And you were right on time with it all. And
good.
Yeah, as soon as you left, you texted me and you left me voicemails. Oh, yes. Absolutely. You're very communicative with me, which definitely helps me feel better and helps me. Because if I have the updates, I know what's happening.
Yes.
But if I don't know what's happening for hours and hours.
That's stressful.
When we originally talked about doing the lifestyle, I was like, I can't imagine like you just like spending 4 hours with a man or 6 hours with a man and me not knowing anything. I would climb the walls. Now, maybe not so much now, but back then I was like, I can't imagine like how, like we talked about this. I can't distract myself with work, out of sight, out of mind. I would be thinking about it every second. It would be excruciating to not know what's happening. So you were super great about it. And I was also very busy with stuff I had going on at that retreat. But like if it happened now and it was on a weekend and I wasn't doing anything, that'd be a little harder for me, but I'd be waiting for that next call. Isn't that crazy?
Like, for me, if the tables were turned,
yes,
I would not want to hear from you.
Really?
And I would be thinking about it the entire time and probably masturbating almost the entire time. No, I wouldn't want to hear from you at all. I would want you to completely immerse yourself like that. I don't. Why is that such a turn on to me? That turns me on a lot.
Why is that?
I don't know. Listeners, why does that turn me on?
Yeah. Why does it turn you on to not hear a thing until it's all over?
I don't know, because it's what an alpha would do. I don't know. You're just like total badass. You're like,
I don't need to call her.
I only call
her. I'm busy.
I'm just so busy.
That's what that is.
So busy. I'm so busy. Fucking her brains out. Oh my God.
I were checking in with you all the time, it'd be like,
No, I just don't need it. And in fact, I think it would be I don't know, but it's different. It's different with me. Like, I almost...
You can literally get on your computer and forget about it for 4 hours.
I could if I wanted to, but I wouldn't because it turns me on so much. I think I'd lean into that. My Wii Vibe and I would have a really great date. But with you, like, I really enjoyed staying in touch with you. It was like, it made it way more fun.
It was like our own caper.
Yes, it was. Yeah. That is so true.
Yeah, it was cool. Because it was us. It was like, it's the one thing we've talked about in this whole lifestyle is that we get to date other people together. Like, we're not alone dating.
Yeah.
Like, I have you to share funny stories with.
Yeah.
And you have the same. And it's like, we're in it together.
Yeah.
And so it's so different dating with your partner, other people.
It's so funny.
It's always struck me as just so odd and actually nice. Because I have you to share things with and like, oh, look at that person, that hilarious. Or just make fun of something or like you make light of something or joke around about something. That's just fun for me. And having you there on the same page with me with no other considerations of, oh, if I say this, she might not like it. Right. She might react. Like, in my marriage, I dealt with that all the time. It's just the reactivity of the things I would say that were completely innocent.
Right.
Now I say things that aren't innocent at all and you still react, really well.
It's interesting. And I could see you... Even if I told you, like, I don't want to hear from you, or you don't have to, but, like, I could see you wanting to send me some kind of update.
I would.
And you probably would anyway.
Off just to the restaurant so now.
If it was fun for you, then do it.
It would be. I'd be like, okay, we're going back to her place.
Yeah. You're like, fucking her. I'm fucking her right now. I'm like, put your phone down and pay attention to her. Oh, my God. Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, my God.
So I think we covered a lot of good things. I think we're on different subjects, but...
All around kind of growth and...
Figuring out where each other is right now and the jealousy and not jealousy and compersion and then how we're growing. Yeah, it's just all very interesting.
Jealousy, envy, how we're perceived, social mores. It's just so fascinating. So tell me what you envision happening at the party.
I think you could get down with that guy.
I don't know.
I think you've run it through your mind, so I need to run it through mine.
Yeah.
And I could see if things progress with her, I could do it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have the drive.
I don't either.
To go complete these deals. I just don't. And it's probably because I'm so taken care of with you and I'm so comfortable in it.
Yeah.
But maybe there's something else at work. Maybe I'm timid in some way. I don't think I am, but...
You're not. But I feel the same way. I'm just like... I'm not going to be aggressively going after this guy. Like, I'm probably going to be very shy unless he approaches me. That's how I am.
He will. I think he's planning to fuck you.
I don't know about that.
You guys hit it off at the roller skating. Just a cute little fun vanilla thing. You had so much in common. And
it was very
really good
vanilla.
Looking. And you're hot. And it was vanilla at the vanilla thing.
But I think that he's played with a lot of people at this party, and it might just be easier to slip back into somebody else's vagina. Because I think he slept with a lot of people.
He might find other vaginas, but yours is the best.
Well, obviously.
No. No, I mean, I can guarantee you're on top of the radar. And so he's coming to this party hoping, at least expecting something, or not expecting, but hoping.
And I think he's good looking enough and tall enough that he probably just has his pick. And so...
And his pick would be you.
Well, we'll see. He'd have to show that. I'm not a chaser.
You don't have to be.
I just don't care that much.
I'm not a chaser either, but I don't get chased like you do.
You get chased. You just don't notice
it. That's true, but I don't.
Babe. You're so hot.
All right. Nobody needs to hear that. Thank you, though. I love you.
I love you so much.
All right. So we covered some good stuff. Please leave us a review. You all send us your emails.
Yes.
We've had many great emails. The one we read earlier at the start of this podcast. We love hearing your stories. And we can share them on the air if you want. And just for other people to understand like what this is all about.
I think it helps to hear what other people's experiences are, not just ours.
Yeah.
We get a community. We do have a private Facebook page that I think, how many people do we have in it now? Like 15 maybe?
Yeah. It's just starting out. Y'all join it. It's in the show notes. The
private
Facebook group. It's secret. So no one will know that you're on it.
Yep.
And we also have an email. So send us an email, join the group. We're going to be contributing more to that group as we go along too.
Yeah.
And someone's at the door. So we'll go get that.
Okay. Interesting.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye, you guys.
Talk to you later.